And I realized that we have really had church. We've been going a while, and that's fine. So I'm going to try to get through when you do. And some of you said, I'm already through. Well, just hang on a little bit. Amen. You're not through yet. John chapter 4, verse 23 is a familiar verse to many of us. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and he said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers. That means there must be some false worshipers. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now here's what I want you to get. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. My subject tonight is producing what God is seeking. Producing what God is seeking. The Bible tells us some things that God is seeking, and those are the things that we must try to produce. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. One thing that the Bible makes very clear that God is looking for, that God is seeking, is true worship. What is true worship? How do we distinguish true worship from false worship? The first thing that we need to learn about true worship is that we must worship the right one. Amen. Praise the Lord. We must worship the right one. And that is, we worship the one true God. Amen. Here, we call him the Father. What we worship tonight. All of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise belongs solely to him. We worship the one true God. And then we worship him with the right motive. Worship that does not have the right motive is not worship at all. Some people are just trying to butter God up. Some people are just trying to get on God's good side so they think they can get something from him. Some people think that worship is just a bless me club where it's really all about me and God is just some cosmic sugar daddy that is supposed to respond to whatever you say you need. Amen. But let me tell you something tonight. That's not the true God. The true God is sovereign. The true God answers prayer according to his will and not according to your will. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. But God answers our prayer according to his will. God's looking for true worshipers. God's looking for people that will worship him when he says no just as well as when he says yes. God is looking for people that will worship him when he says wait and grow into the promise just as well as when he says yes. God's looking for people that trust him and believe him even when they're hurting on the inside. That their eyes and their vision is dimmed by their tears and they don't know how it's going to work out and they don't know how things are going to come to pass, but they just keep believing God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you said it, and Jesus, you love me, and Jesus, I love you, and Jesus, I worship you. That's what worship is. Amen. Worship is not getting your feelings hurt. Amen. And so you stay out of church a few days. Amen. Because you get all upset because something didn't go your way. Worship says, oh, no, no, no. Devil, you're not going to win this. Amen. It doesn't matter. This is not about my feelings. This is not about me. This is all about him. He called me and he saved me and he delivered me. Amen. I'm going to serve him with everything that's in me. That's worship. Amen. We got to worship the Lord, folks. True worshipers, that's what he's looking for. And then he said, people that worship in spirit, spirited worship. Now let me just say, weeping is spiritual worship. Amen. Don't judge a person's worship by your worship. I know some people, they think if you're not, you know, climbing the walls and biting the ceiling, you're not worshiping. Not everybody worships like that. And then that's okay. If you do, get with it. Amen. That's fine. Amen. But don't judge somebody else's worship. You're not qualified to do that. You don't know how other people worship. Amen. And some of the best blessings that I receive is I just stand up here with my eyes closed and you think, boy, he's dead. But you don't know what's going on in my head. Thank God for that. It would be scary if you did. But you see, oftentimes when I'm just standing here, the Lord's just talking to me. And I'm just going, yeah, that's good. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I like that. That'll preach, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's just telling me what to tell you. And that's worship. Worship is many things. But now worship is not sitting there clipping your fingernails looking at your watch. That's impatience. That's boredom. Amen. That's not being disciplined. Amen. Praise the Lord. But worship in spirit, however you do it, you get locked into the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you just sit there and wiggle back and forth and go, that's all right. However you worship, worship. But you're worshiping in spirit. Amen. Worship's not looking around at other people, judging their worship. No, you worship. God is looking for people that worship Him in spirit. And God is looking at people that worship Him in truth. Did you know that an airplane has to have two wings to fly? And a bird has to have... Have you ever seen a bird with a broken wing? Can't fly, can he? He just flops around. Amen. Just goes around in circles. Man, I got spirit. I'm spirit filled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, get a little truth with that and you can go somewhere. Then we got other people saying, oh, we're in the Word, brother. We're Word people. We just Word people. We don't get into all that spiritual stuff. We're Word people. Well, it's good to be a Word person. Love the truth. Love the Word. Amen. And if you'll get them together, then you can go somewhere. You get balanced spirit with balanced truth, and you will soar. Amen. That's what God's looking for, people just like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's part of what that is. You know, I've observed some things through the years. You know, some people, when they get through singing, they're through. I was in a church one time where a guy came, he played the piano, and then he left. He did his job. He was a piano person. He worshiped the Lord in piano. That was it. Wasn't very balanced. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you need to worship the Lord just as much in the preaching as you do in the singing. Amen. And I love singing. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm finally getting some of these courses they're singing up here. I sure appreciate these screens because, man, all those words, I get lost. That's a bunch of... Some of these songs got a lot of words, you know it? I like that one that sounded Celtic tonight. Felt like I was in Ireland. I like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's going to take me a while to get some words, you see. Amen. And if I don't know them, I just make them up. So the Lord is looking for people, true worshipers. And then the Bible said that the Lord is looking for somebody after his own heart. King Saul had reached a place in the kingdom of God that he began to take things for granted. There's no place in spiritual life for arrogance. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how much God uses you, you may have oil running out of your fingertips and a blinking cross on your forehead, but that does not make you spiritual. Amen. If you lose humility and you lose brokenness, then you have bankrupted your ministry. There's no place for arrogance. That's what happened to Saul. The Bible said he started out so humble. When Samuel got ready to anoint him, he couldn't even find him because he was so humble. He was hiding among the stuff. But God used him. He had some success. God blessed him. It went to his head, and he started assuming things that were not his place to assume. The Bible said that he was waiting on the prophet Samuel to come and offer sacrifice. He decided that Samuel was late, and so he offered the sacrifice himself. As a matter of fact, in explaining this to Samuel, he said, "I forced myself to offer a burnt sacrifice." Let me tell you something about worship. God does not accept forced worship. Amen. He taught me that one time. I was a little frustrated because people weren't worshiping like I thought they ought to be worshiping. So I was trying to get them to worship. I was doing cheerleading. You ever been to service where they had cheerleaders? Everybody stand up. Everybody turn around. Everybody shake your neighbor's hand. Everybody tell your neighbor they're better than you. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody sit down. Everybody turn around. Everybody, they get it going, and it's just, you don't know what to do. You're waiting for the next thing. Shut up and let people worship. God's people know how to worship. If you'll just get them inspired and give them an opportunity. Amen. People know how to worship. Amen. I'm not saying there's not a place, to encourage people in certain things. There's a time and a place and a way to do that. Amen. But you see, their worship's not pleasing you. If people are doing it because you just tell them to, God's getting no glory from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's not getting glory from that. It has to come out of people's heart. That's what I like about the worship we've been having around here lately. People worshiping God because you want to. Hallelujah. You're worshiping how you want to. Amen. All right. And so he said, "I forced myself and I burnt the sacrifice." And here's what Samuel said. Samuel said to Saul the king, he said, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever." He said, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him." God is seeking a man after his own heart. God is looking for somebody that's seeking after him. Amen. When he looks at somebody that's looking after the heart of God, "God, what do you want? How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to be?" And you only get there in prayer. You have to spend time with God. You have to get alone with God. And you seek God. It's good to be in church, but we need to pray at home. We need to pray other places. Amen. We're seeking after God. And that's what He's looking for. When He sees somebody that's willing to set themselves aside for a season of prayer, then God comes and joins that person. And God has special things to say. The Bible said that God shares His secrets with His prophets. And if you'll just come aside and talk to the Lord, He will talk to you. He's looking for people that are seeking Him. People that He can fellowship with. Amen. Let me encourage you, elders and young people tonight, to take time to seek the Lord. Amen. I know we're busy. We have a lot going on. Amen. And it's good to be involved in church activities. But also take some time yourself, just you and the Lord, to get alone. Amen. Places that He can just talk to you. Amen. We used to sing a song that said, "Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face. Gaining new power to run in this race. How I love to be shut in with God." Amen. You get shut in with the Lord. Amen. Prayer goes from being a drudgery to being a delight. Amen. And you seek fellowship with Him. Amen. So we need to seek after His heart. The will of God. The plan of God for my life. Jesus, what do You want me to be? Not, it doesn't matter what I want. What do You want? And let me say, things don't have to be perfect for you to get there. You don't have to be perfect to get there. Somebody said, "I'm not even worthy to do that. I haven't been doing so well." Then you need to do it more than ever. That's where God can change you. That's where God can strengthen you. That's where God can deliver you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so He said, "I'm looking for people that are looking for Me. People that are after My heart. I'm after their heart." Amen. And so God is looking for a man after His own heart. God is looking for fruit bearers. Amen. You know, we could take a lesson from trees. Have you ever been to an apple orchard or an orange grove? Anybody ever been to one? Or a pecan, whatever you call them. What's a pecan? Is it a grove? Yeah, okay. But what do you call a bunch of them? I don't know if it's a grove or a, you know, some are groves and some are whatever. But anyway, a pecan farm. We're going to call it a farm. But, and you go through there and all these big trees out there and they got pecans on them. They got apple trees got apples on them. Orange trees got oranges on them. Grapefruit trees got grapefruit trees. Apricot trees got apricots. And you're walking down there and all this fruit all around you. Have you ever been in a place like that? You don't hear them groaning. Oh! What are you doing? I'm bearing fruit. Oh, I'm producing some oranges here. Hang on a minute. Ah! No, they don't do that, do they? You know, they produce fruit because they're fruit trees. Amen. Don't take a lot of effort. That's their nature. It's just what they do. Christians produce the fruit of the Spirit. I said Christians produce the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't matter what you say you are. What matters, what you're producing. Amen. What is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Griping. Complaining. Gossiping, criticizing, judging, the fruit of the Spirit. So if we find those things in us, we need to do some pruning. We need to get the pruning shears out and say, this one's got to go. Oh, that hurt. Good, but get rid of it. Get rid of a critical spirit. Get rid of a judgmental spirit. Get rid of pride and arrogance. Get rid of all those things that are not the fruit of the Spirit. You know what happens when a farmer comes and he's got a tree that's bearing good fruit? You know what he does? He prunes it so it'll bear more fruit. He doesn't leave it alone. I heard of a guy one time, it's a story that I heard years ago. There was this guy had an apple tree and it just wasn't producing like it was supposed to. And so he went to an expert and he said, "What do I need to do?" And he said, "What have you done?" And he told him, he said, "Well, you know, I got the soil balanced and it's getting enough water." And he said, "Well," he said, "let me tell you what you do." He said, "You get you an axe handle and you just beat the fire out of that tree." He said, it needs to be shook up. It needs to be woken up. And if you'll get that handle and you'll beat on that tree, and it did, it bore fruit. Lord, sometimes I feel like that tree. I feel like he's trying to wake me up. Wham! Oh, I'm okay. I got it. Bam! I got that there too. Amen. Amen. But God wants us to bear fruit. God is looking, seeking for fruit bearers. God's looking for soul winners. God's looking for witnesses. No, God, the Lord's serious about this. You remember that time Jesus, the Bible said he was hungry. He saw this fig tree. It had leaves on it. That means if it had leaves on it, it was saying, "Hey, there's some fruit over here." By the way, do you know there's fig trees by the church in Canton? See what you've been missing? You can't get them sitting in Athens. You got to go to Canton. Amen. But these fig trees, and it's growing, it's producing figs, and it said, "Hey, I got some figs over here." Jesus went over there. There was no fruit on the tree. And right on the spot, he said, he cursed that tree, and he said, "You'll never produce anything. You'll wither and die." They went by a little bit later, and that tree was dead. God is serious about us bearing fruit. I've said this many times, but I'm going to say it again. God, help us not to make excuses. Help us to make changes. Say that with me. God, help me not to make excuses. Help me to make changes. God doesn't want you to excuse your attitude. I know folks that have had the same attitude for a long time. And if you got a bad attitude, you need to change it. Don't excuse it. Don't say, "That's the way I am. Yeah, that's the way my family was." Well and good, but you're a Christian. You're supposed to bear fruit. I said, you're supposed to bear fruit. You're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. Amen. You're supposed to be all of these things. Amen. Full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of long-suffering. Long-suffering? What in the world does that mean? Some of us got a fuse about that long. Woo! You're preaching now, Brother Grissom. Amen. He said long-suffering. What does that mean? That means you put up with a lot. You don't give up on people. Doesn't mean you got to like it, but you put up with it. Doesn't mean that you don't try to teach them better, but you teach the truth in love. And you put up with some things. Long-suffering. Gentle. Huh. How'd that get in there? Gentle. Everybody say gentle. Amen. Gentle. You reckon we could use a little of that? Be gentle with people. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean-spirited. Don't be unkind. Don't be hard. Be gentle with people. Let me give you a little advice here. Think before you speak. Slow down. Say, "Well, now let me say this right. Let me get this right." Because sometimes we can say the right thing the wrong way. We need to be gentle. And then he said, "Good. Just be good. Just goodness. Just be good. For goodness sake." Amen. And then he said, we have to have faith. Praise the Lord. Have faith. You know, somebody said, faith is like, you know when they used to have film and cameras before the digital age? They used to have film, and you developed it in the dark. And they said, faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. If you knew what was going to happen, you wouldn't need faith. If you knew how God was going to do something, you wouldn't need faith. Right? You'd already have it figured out. So faith is required when you don't know what God's doing, but you know He's going to do something and He's going to do it right. And you just have faith, you have confidence, you trust God, you hang on to God, you praise God, you endure through your situation because you have faith. And God's building something in you. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Christians don't have to be doormats. You can kindly tell people the right thing. You said, heard what I said? Yes. Kindly. Gently. With long suffering. You can tell people what they need to hear. Amen. That's right. You know what meekness is? Let me give you a good definition of what meekness is. It's power under control. My car, I'm not going to tell you how much it'll do, but it'll do over the speed limit. It will. Amen. And on a good day, my pickup might. Needs a little work right now. But you know, both of them, they'll go faster than the speed limit. But meekness is power under control. They'll go a lot faster than what I'm supposed to go. So I have to be meek. I know it'll do more. And so you use the power in the right way. That's what meekness is. You have power. You have authority. But you use it in the right way. You know how to restrain from saying things. Even when you'd like to really let her rip. You don't do that. That's power under control. When you'd really like to give somebody just a big piece of your mind. But you don't do that. That's what meekness is. It says, nope, this is not the time, this is not the place, and that's not the way. That's what meekness is. Amen. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To be able to have that kind of control. That's what meekness is all about. You have authority. You have power with God. But you use it always in the right way. Amen. And temperance is when you know when to say enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God is looking for fruit bearers. He is. God is looking for intercessors. An intercessor is somebody that goes to God on behalf of others. Amen. Goes to God on behalf of others. God one time had a reluctant prophet by the name of Jonah. Jonah was very upset with the Ninevites and the Assyrians because they were very cruel and they'd been very cruel to Israel. And God told him, He said, I want you to go to Nineveh, the capital city, and I want you to tell them in 40 days, I'm going to destroy the city. That's all you got to say. That's your sermon. When you get to Nineveh, He said, you just hit the streets and you just preach. And then you just say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish. Yet 40 days and Nineveh. That's all you got to preach, Jonah. Anybody could preach that sermon. But he didn't want to. You know the story. Got on a ship headed for Spain and said, I think I'll go over to Spain instead of going over there. And God said, well, I'll have to prepare a very special ride for you. And he did. He got him there, didn't he? Via a great fish. And he came and irped him up on the ground. And he hit the ground running, seaweed behind his ears, smelling like good grace. Who knows what. But when he got into town preaching, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish. You know why he didn't want to go? He said, God, the reason I don't want to go and preach is because those people are going to repent and you're going to forgive them. And I don't want that to happen. I want you to just fry them. They deserve it. That was his attitude. And you know what God did? Just what he said. His sermon was effective. You know, the king called a fast. And I mean, he fasted seriously. Everything in the kingdom. They even put muzzles on the animals so they couldn't eat. Nothing ate. For 3 days, nothing ate. He said, if there's anything here, any way we can avoid this, folks, we got to do it. And sure enough, God saved the city of Nineveh because there was an intercessor. A reluctant one, but he was one. Amen. But then there was there's a verse here, a disturbing verse, over in the book of Ezekiel. And he said, the word of the Lord came to me. And I want you to listen to what he said here. He said, speaking of Israel, he said, her prophets have devoured souls, taken the treasure and the precious things, and have made many widows in the midst thereof. That was the prophets. The prophets were interested in one thing. Profit. Just to profit themselves. He said, the priests have violated my law, profaned mine holy things, hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. He said, the princes are like ravening wolves, shed blood, destroy souls, get dishonest gain. And then again to the prophets, he said, they have used oppression, exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy, oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now that doesn't sound very good when your leadership's in that bad a shape. That almost sounds like the United States of America. And verse 30, Ezekiel 22, verse 30, he said, and I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God did not find not even one man that was willing to stand up for righteousness and make a difference. Therefore, have I poured out mine indignation upon them? I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. All because he couldn't find an intercessor. He was looking for one, but he couldn't find one. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things that you can aspire to be in the house of God is an intercessor. Young people, let me encourage you today. It's great to be a singer, but it's better to be an intercessor. There's no higher calling than somebody that knows how to get along with God and bombard heaven with your prayers until God does something for somebody else. Did you know that God can use intercessors in Athens, Texas, to bring revival to a land somewhere across the ocean? I can tell you stories about intercessors that'll make the hair stand up on your head. One missionary told the story. He said he was going to a certain village. He didn't know what happened, but he was going to this village and he felt a lot of oppression. He felt danger all around, but he knew he was in the will of God. He went. And he got there and he preached and there were some new souls that were saved in that service. And after the service, one of the men came up to him and he said, I got to tell you. He said, I am the captain of a band of robbers. And we had determined that when you left here tonight, we were going to kill you and take all of your money and take your vehicle. Amen. And the missionary said, well, why didn't you do it? He said, because when we saw you come here, there were this group of people, I don't remember how many, a group of people that were with you, and we couldn't get to you because of them. And the missionary said, I came alone. He said, no, you didn't. He said, there were people that looked like you. In other words, they were North Americans. And he said, they were with you. He said, no, they wasn't anybody with me. But he was excited because they were. When he got home and he began his deputation, he went to a church and somebody came up after service and said, do you remember? He said, we were in prayer in such and such night. We had a prayer meeting and a bunch of us got to pray and God gave us a burden for you. And he said, really? When was that? And they told him the time. And he said, how many were there? And he told them how many there were. And that's exactly what he saw. God, through intercessory prayer, allowed an evil man with evil on his mind to see a praying bunch of people. And he didn't transport them to that place, but he allowed the man to see them standing with that missionary. That's the power of intercessory prayer. That's why God needs intercessors. Amen. And then God's looking for one thing, one more thing. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God is looking to restore to us what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. What did he lose? He lost innocence. He lost purity. He lost fellowship with God. He lost eternal life. And God is seeking to restore all those things. That's what Jesus came for, wasn't it? And do you know what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost? The Spirit that died in Adam is regenerated in us. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, when you sing that song, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Amen. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. You know why you get excited when you sing that? Because God put life in you. Amen. Yes, we did a funeral service for Sister Everett here on Friday. But let me tell you something. That was just a shell there. Amen. That's what God's going to translate at another time. She's asleep in Jesus today. Amen. When she went to sleep, next time she opens her eyes, it'll be on streets of gold. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what my mom and daddy used to tell me when we traveled? Because you know what I did? I, like most kids, I'd say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? 5 minutes later, are we there yet? And you know what they'd say? They didn't tell me to shut up. They said, if you'll just close your eyes and go to sleep, when you open your eyes, we'll just about be there. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. I'd go to sleep. Next thing I knew, somebody was shaking me, said, we're here, time to get up. And it was just that quick. Now I drive that same trip and I think, man, I wish I could sleep some more. It's a long ways. Amen. But you see, that's what's the, when the Bible says you sleep in Jesus. There have been people that have been sleeping now for 2,000 years, but when they open their eyes on resurrection morning, it's going to be like they never missed a day. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just telling you, he came to restore some things that were lost. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he's here for. You got some things that need restoring tonight? He's in the restoring business. He wants to restore some things to us here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. God wants to restore some things here tonight. God wants to restore some things here tonight. God, I'm into what you're into. Whatever you're seeking for, that's what I want to be. I want to be seeking the same things that you're seeking after. I want to be one of those things that you're seeking here tonight. I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I was dead, but you brought me back to life again by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is seeking that which is lost. He's seeking that which is lost. Amen. Those are the things that the Lord is seeking. Amen. We need to produce the things that draw His attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what I wanted. I know how to do these things tonight. And you do too. Amen. We know how to worship right. And did he not say, he said, we are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. The psalmist taught us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we worship, it invites the presence of the Lord. Amen. And when we seek after his heart, not our heart, but his heart, what he wants, then that produces an attraction in Jesus Christ, and he's attracted to us. Amen. When we bear fruit, spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that attracts the attention of the Lord. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. People are getting more rude all the time. You ever notice that? They stopped teaching manners, but you know, they never did really go out of style. People just quit teaching them. Amen. Praise the Lord. People just quit teaching them. And I would that we, as Christians, amen, would continue to teach those things. God's looking for people that intercede. Can't get away from that tonight. You know why I'm here tonight? Because I had a little mama that was an intercessor. I was in Houston, Texas, and I was standing there. The guy had a gun pointed at me and ready to use it. And I had a little mama 500 miles away sitting at a sewing machine in Midland, Texas. And the Lord said, Johnny, pray. And she hit her knees and went to prayer. God spared my life. My brother in Vietnam was driving a Jeep, and during the Vietnam War, he hit a landmine. It blew the Jeep over, blew him out on the ground. And the officer that was riding with him was blown out also, and they were just exposed. There were snipers up in the tree shooting down at them. Snipers are trained, folks. They know how to shoot a gun. Amen. But you know what the Lord said to my little old mom? He said, pray. Ronnie, pray. She started praying for my brother, calling his name. And my brother over in Vietnam, I just can't help but believe that an angel just came up there and said, no, you're not going to get this one here. Covered him, kept him, and the man that was with him. Their lives were spared because of an intercessor. Intercessor. God knows how to how to respond, but he needs some people that when he says pray, you'll pray. Aren't you thankful for Sister Nancy that sends out those prayer requests? When you get those prayer requests, pray. Amen. It doesn't take long. Just stop what you're doing and just for a minute, just pray. And if it's where you can pray longer, then you can give more time to it. But it doesn't take a long time to get through to God. Do you think God, you have to pray a long prayer to get God's attention? When you're in a car on a rainy road and you're headed right towards somebody and you have lost total control of your vehicle and you're getting ready to smash head on and all you got time to say is, Jesus! He hears that prayer. Has he heard it for you? He's heard it for me. Amen. It doesn't take a long time, but God's looking for intercessors. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate it. Amen. We need to produce what God's looking for. You want to be spiritual? Produce what God's looking for. God's looking for some people that'll produce what he's looking for. Amen. I've gotten to where I despise the word sexy. That's the watchword of the world, isn't it? Everybody wants to look that way. You know what God's looking for? Holy. You want to get God's attention? Be holy. He's not interested in you looking like that. He's interested in you being holy. But if you'll dress for holiness, you see, that'll attract the attention of God. Don't you let this world squeeze you into its mold. Try to make you look and dress like everybody else. Talk and act like everybody else. God has called us to holiness. That's what the Lord's seeking. Isn't that what he said? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. God's looking for that. That's what he's seeking. Let's produce what God is seeking. And he will be attracted to us. He will come to us. We'll have fellowship one with another. I know we got food here, but why don't we just take just a moment and gather around here tonight and just for a moment of consecration and talking to the Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus, I don't deserve you. God, your vast mercies, limitless. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve a second chance and a third chance and a hundredth chance and a thousandth chance, but you're merciful. You're merciful. I thank you tonight. I know salvation here on earth is not a destination, it's a journey. We have to grow as we go along this way. We don't arrive quickly, but it takes us a while. We grow day by day to be more like Jesus. God, help me never to stop growing. Please help me. Don't let me get comfortable. Don't let me get stayed. Don't let me get static. God, help me today to always be growing. Always be changing. Always be seeking. You're seeking for some things, and I'm seeking after the things that you're seeking for. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want my attitude to be right. I'm sorry. Sometimes my attitude's wrong. Sometimes I talk too harshly. Sometimes I say unkind things. Sometimes I let my mouth get ahead of my thinking. I need you. I want to be pure. I want to be peaceful. I want to be kind. I want to be generous. I want to be gentle. I want to be full of the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Teach me, Lord. I want to be long-suffering and patient, and I want to have self-control. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me. Help me. Amen. Help me to aspire to the things that you aspire to. Help me to seek the things that please you always.